Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to Ladies Who London podcast. I'm Emily Dell.
And I'm Alex Lacey, and we are qualified London Blue Badge tourist guides.
Each week we bring to you some of the best bits of London.
We talk about our favourite people, places and events with a bit of information, a lot of laughs and a whole lot of fun.
We can be found on Instagram at Ladies Who London podcast and on our website, guideemily.com.
And sorry, and what? And
Alex!
Sorry, I was reading an email, which is really exciting.
I cannot believe you just did that. I'm looking at you, and I'm like, she's not even paying attention.
So then
Is it related?
It is. I was just bringing the podcast up because, anyway, websites, all that stuff. Hi, how are you? Hello, everybody.
I'm good, but you need to explain what this email is. Okay. It's so important for you to not even, you know, finish.
It was one I read this week, and I was just basically finding it so that we could chat about it on here, because we've had a lovely, I mean, one of my favourite emails ever, I think, from Gina, who's over in the US, and she says she's had a couple of shout outs before, but this has got to be the best one ever. She's in Washington, D.C., currently home for the next podcast, and went to the International Spy Museum. And she saw something there that got her very, very excited. Can you guess who it relates to?
Oh, my God. Is it Noor?
It's Noor.
Oh, my God. She keeps popping up.
Love how much you guys love Noor. But basically, she's actually sent us a few pictures, which, Em, you can pop on the socials. There were pictures. She sent us pictures from the exhibit. You can see the writing of Noor's writing, and they had a suitcase weighted like her £30 radio, and you could pick it up and test it. And she said it was unbelievable. And there's amazing pictures from the exhibition here. Really, really cool. So I'm going to send that to you, Em, and you can put that on the socials, because it made me very happy. I love how much you guys love Noor. She's fantastic.
So, thank you, Gina. And you know, fine, I will let it go.
Sorry, Gina, you ruined the intro.
The fact that Alex just was not paying attention at all, but it was for good reason. Thank you very much, Gina.
So we'll put that on socials. But how are you, Em?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm really good. Had my birthday this week.
Yeah, happy birthday to my pod bud.
Thanks, babe.
What did you do?
I worked, and I tell you, I will never work on my birthday again. Right. It came and literally went within a blink.
Yeah, I worked my birthday this year as well, and I never do. I normally am militant about having the day off. But
and I told you that. I was like, oh, I'm working today. And you were like, no, you should never work on your birthday. But you do the same. But I am going to, we're going to Ibiza this weekend.
We're going to have a party. I'm not going. I'm not invited.
Boo. Yeah, no, Carmen's not even invited. It's just mum and dad.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Yeah, so
The party life.
Living the party life. Well, you know, I mean, I can't stay up past 9 o'clock these days, so I can't.
You are a bit of a sort of retired raver, aren't you?
I am a retired raver. I've still, you know, my knees are still trying to knock. all that says. But yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. We've got thunderstorms whilst we're out there. Classic. But
exciting. And how long are you going for?
Just a weekend, Friday to Monday.
Nice. Back in time for the pod.
Back in time for the pod. And I always got to be back in time for the pod. That's why we're coming back Monday and not on Wednesday.
Well, happy birthday. Another year older and less sensible than ever.
Absolutely.
That's what
Absolutely.
I love about you.
And how are you?
I'm very well. Now, I don't know. I mean, there once upon a time, this is what is so bizarre about the last couple of years. Once upon a time, October was the month that tours started to tail off. And then we had 2 years of not working at all. And this year, October is ridiculously busy. So there's a lot going on. I've got a couple of very big events this week, but both you and I are doing some cool stuff this week, which, if our listeners want to, can come and get involved with, because what are you doing at the moment, Em? You're doing free tours.
I'm doing free tours. So at the moment,
I'm... tell people about this.
I know. Well, I'm working at the Design Museum, which is in High Street, Kensington. And there you have an exhibition which shows the most beautiful pieces by Van Cleef & Arpels. It's called The Art of
Say
Movement.
It properly.
Van Cleef. Van Cleef & Arpels.
Van Cleef.
Van Cleef.
Van Cleef.
Van Cleef.
Oh, all right. To be fair, you're in the...
I've had my training, babe. They told me, I mean, you know me in pronunciation. They had to pull me aside and be like, right, okay, how are we saying that again? Like, trust me, Van Cleef.
All right, fine. Van Cleef & Arpels it is.
But it's not about the pronunciation. It is about these beautiful pieces on display. And I am running, well, I'm not kind of running, you know, I'm just doing 45-minute tours. They're on every day until the 20th of October. You do need to book online for a tour, but to be honest, a lot of people that book just don't show up. So people that are walking over to the exhibition were saying, hey, you know, join the tour. I shouldn't probably say that, but hey-ho.
And they're free. So,
they are free. They're free. It lasts 45 minutes and you have 98 dazzling pieces. The most recent piece, 2018, the oldest piece, 1922. So, yeah, come along.
She's into her jewels now.
I am so into my jewels. Oh, my God.
Gardens and jewels.
Gardens and jewels.
Very niche.
Yes. And what about you, my love?
Well, I'm in a concert, actually several concerts this weekend. Oh! I'm singing at the Royal Albert Hall again. It's been a while. I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Know this.
Yeah. So I sing with a choir who we sometimes do the things where, you know, where they do, they have a film and then they redo the score. So
yeah, they recently did Star Wars.
Yes, I did that about 10 years ago. That was in the O2. That was damn cool. But this one is Harry Potter. And it's, I don't know which Harry Potter it is, but anyway, I'm turning up for it. And it's at Royal Albert Hall. And I think there's four gigs. I think there's Friday night, Saturday matinee, Saturday night and Sunday matinee. And I'm singing with my choir and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, baby.
No way.
Yes.
So Harry Potter's going to be playing on the screen and then you all come on and go,
something like that. Yeah. I don't actually know how much choral stuff. It's always weird with these film ones because, of course, it's not like a choral score, like a full Messiah or something. Yeah. So you often get the choir bits will be really weird and you'll kind of have to come in with next to no, or like the score will kind of have rest for 453 bars and then you're like, great, I'm not gonna count that, and then everyone like sort of doesn't really know where to come in and then was like and then they never really, it's always like R's and O's, it's rarely actual kind of words. Except for the Star Wars one that we did years ago where we were speaking some kind of Star Wars language which involved the phrase, and I quote, Cora Ratimar. And if there are any CLC friends of mine, choir friends who listen to this podcast, probably not, they hate it, then they will remember Cora Ratimar, which is something that we often shout at each other in the pub when we're quite drunk. But yeah, it's so much fun. And when I did Star Wars, we got to meet John Williams, which is pretty cool.
This is so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, that was years ago, though. Anyway, so this will be Harry Potter. You're a lizard, Gary. Which will be on the Royal Albert Hall this weekend. So come and see if you can spot me as a tiny little pinhead a million miles away on the stage, probably looking very confused and not knowing what she's singing. Woo!
Wow. Mate, how absolutely beautiful.
Fun, hey?
Yeah,
it's been a while really since fun. I've sung that, so it'd be nice to be back.
Gosh, so when you sing, you know, when you're next to me in the Blue Badge Choir, that's a bit of a downgrade, isn't it?
Upgrade, I think you mean.
Well, upgrade for me. See you next to you.
Yeah, so there we go.
But wow, lovely.
And equal opportunities about where I sing. I'll sing in the shower.
Sing bloody anywhere.
Drunk at a karaoke in the Royal Albert Hall. I am.
Yeah.
Pretty even about it.
Yeah. Oh, great. Super.
Right, well, that's enough faff from us. Shall we crack on with the podcast?
Let's stop faffing and get on with it.
Oh, dear.
So last week you spoke beautifully about... you said a few words. You spoke about Great Ormond Street Hospital.
Yes, I did. Thank you. I'd completely forgotten what it was last week. I have been so busy this week and today I've just been working for the last 10 hours and you can just tell I've been in my head and not spoken to anybody because now I'm like, bleh. So I'm probably going to be insane tonight. But hey, that's all good.
You know, that's fine. Chatty Carol, you know, bring yourself forward, love.
What we like. Now, actually, we do have a little confession to make, don't we, Emily? Or you do.
Do we? No, I'm fine about it.
Podcast is going up late on Wednesday this week.
Look, this is day 13 of 14 for me, okay? I'm absolutely wiped.
I messaged her last night, as we normally do, and went, all right, to do the pod in about an hour, babe. And she went, oh my God, is it Tuesday? We've got our days all mixed up. So the podcast pedestal has only just gone up as well.
But it is fine. Up.
It is up. It is up. So what were the options last week?
So the options, so you, if I remember rightly, you went for, I mean, I should know because I only put it on the poll literally half an hour ago. So you went for Parliament allowing all of the money that's raised from Peter Pan to continuously go to Great Ormond Street Hospital.
Yeah.
Which was a great one.
Perpetuity.
Perpetuity. So, I can't remember that word. So probably in my own words.
For Evs and Evs.
Yeah, I did. The symbol I used, or the kind of picture that I used, was the infinity symbol.
The infinity symbol, I love that. And then you went for the little pumps by the Toy Master, which does make it sound like he's doing lots of little farts. The Toy Master's little pumps.
His little pumps, his little smelly pumps.
Oh, I didn't need to be smelly.
His little smelly pumps.
Anyway, so the little pumps. What do you think happened this week? Where do you think it's gone?
Oh God, I really hope it's the smelly pumps, but I think that it's probably gone for the infinity and beyond.
Well, have a look at this. It is 50-50.
It's only been up for 2 minutes, but I'll go with that. 50-50.
It might change. We might update you next week. Chaos. We're at the tail end of a very long season, aren't we? Demo happy.
Wow. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Well, you're still leading.
Jolly good. So we like it.
Yeah. I can't remember 100% where we are, but I think it's something around the 1917 mark.
Doesn't matter.
Actually, it could even be 1815. It doesn't matter. You're winning.
That's all we need to know. So that really doesn't change anything. But what are we talking about this week? It's your week this week.
So this week, I don't know if you remember, but the wheel landed in quite a lovely part of London called Kew.
Yes.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were all about the Kew. We were hashtagging the Kew all over the place. But that's not the kind of queue I'm talking about.
Oh, that
I'm talking about, the queue.
I've already forgotten about it.
What? So I'm talking about queue, this beautiful part of London where you have this huge botanical wonderland, Kew Gardens, which is one of my favourite places to guide because there's so many elements to it. And to be honest, you could spend hours within each of the elements. You know, it could be the temperate house, you could go over towards the arboretum. There's just so many different parts, and one place you could go to is Kew Palace. So I'm going to be talking, go for it.
I do think that we might need to change your nickname because we've not seen the resurgence of Goth Guide for a while. It's been very Garden Guide.
It has. It's been very green, and you know, we're outside.
Maybe you're in a better place.
Nature. Yeah. I mean, although I am actually talking a little bit about Mad King George III today. So.
Yeah, bring it on. One for our Americans.
Absolutely. So, so I wanted to talk a little bit about this beautiful little terracotta doll's house that you can find nestled in Kew Gardens. And because there's so many giants in the way of, you know, huge kind of greenhouses and things that take your attention, it's quite easy to not find yourself going along the pathway to the palace. And I have to say, if you are trying in the next few months, don't, because you can't actually get in. This is not the greatest time to be talking about the palace. So it's closed until April. However, just to see it.
I know. Please enjoy all these things to do in London, but you can't.
And also Kew Gardens has illuminated queue coming up, which is such a lovely thing to do at Christmas. And they do these illuminations at the front of Kew Palace. They do these kind of projections, so that's very nice to see. Plus the gardens are open around the palace, which I will talk about. So anyway, let's dive into it. I should ask, actually, have you been in the palace?
I have, actually. I looked at, never quite got around, never quite confirmed, but looked at arranging an event there many moons ago, 2012 to be precise.
Wow.
So I got to have a nice little look around. And it's gorgeous. It really is lovely.
It really is. And because you've got this kind of deep terracotta colour, it just works so well with all of the greenery around it, especially because at the front of the palace, you have a lot of topiary, which is kind of like a little version of Alice in Wonderland. Mm. So really beautiful. It is the smallest royal residence in the world.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, it is. So it is a palace. It's not lived in by the royal family today. It's now open for the public to use, but it was very much used by the royal family from 1728 to about 1818. But to go back in time to the early 1600s, if you were walking up to what we now have as Kew Palace, you would actually find a much larger building, a huge building, which was leased by a man called Samuel Fortrey in 1619. And the land around it was owned by John Dudley and his son Robert Dudley, who, I don't know if we've spoke about the Dudleys before.
I'm not sure that we have, but they're rather interesting.
So a little cheeky favourite of Queen Elizabeth I. Yep. So already you've got lots of people kind of owning the buildings in the area, owning the land, that are quite wealthy, quite well-to-do, you know, rubbing shoulders with the royal family. But eventually this building was demolished because it was quite kind of worn out. It was a little bit dilapidated. Aren't we all? Exactly, yeah, especially after this summer. But they kept the undercroft, and then they built a new house on top, which we call Kew Palace today.
Right.
But back then it was called the Dutch House because of its appearance, and I guess to look at the palace, it's got that kind of feel about it.
Any link to William of Orange with that?
I don't think so. And actually at the time, even though it was, you know, we, I guess, associated with that kind of architecture, you saw this particular kind of architecture more so in Britain than you did
right.
in the Netherlands at the time. So the actual Kew Palace that we see today dates back to 1631, and it was visited by quite a few different people, one of which being John Evelyn, the diary writer, who was just absolutely enchanted, especially by the entrance and the front facade. And then when we reach the 1720s, we have the royal family that move in, and in particular, King George II and Queen Caroline and their children.
We mentioned her a few weeks ago, didn't we, Queen Caroline?
Yeah, why did we talk about Queen Caroline?
Related to Peter the Wild Boy.
Oh, yes.
And I said we need to do an episode on her because she is amazing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Write that down right now.
Exactly. Get that on your list. And living at Kew, you know, they've got space around them. They're not in the thick of it. So they feel like they can kind of live normal lives, as it were. But then we come to George III, because this year in Kew Palace, they've had a fabulous exhibition. And I don't know if it's going to be extended on to next year, but it was all about the mind of King George III. And there was a lot about mental illness, because you will discover, because I'm going to come to it, but George III, he was basically confined in Kew Palace when he was incredibly ill. So a lot of the rooms are heavily linked to him. So I if you don't mind, I'll just tell you a little bit about George III. Are you into that?
Please do. I'm very into that.
Yeah, okay, fabulous. So he was the first kind of true British monarch of the Hanoverian kings. I almost feel like talking about the royal family, we need to get Richard Ng on, because he spoke every Monday on your global tea break all about the royal family, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I get you would have reached, well, you did, because you pretty much did everyone, didn't you?
We did everyone, yeah. We got as far as, Well, we didn't do Queen Liz because we didn't think that was quite right, but yeah, we did everybody.
So George III, around 1811, he was declared unfit to rule, and this was due to recurring bouts of severe mental illness, which I'll come to. So in the end, he had to kind of hand the throne to his son, the Prince Regent. And that always reminds me, I don't know if you've seen the episode with Blackadder or the series of Blackadder, where you've got the Prince Regent and his father is King George III. And it's just so funny. So he had a lot of medical treatment kind of forced upon him while he was secluded at Kew. But he was quite into a lot of things when he was younger. He was quite an intelligent man, shy to start off with. And his parents were Frederick and Augusta, the Prince and Princess of Wales. And they are spoke about a lot if you do a tour around Kew, because there's a lot of things such as the Great Pagoda, which is just so beautiful, where you have these kind of dragons leaping out from the edges.
Who doesn't love a Great Pagoda?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely huge. And it was created under the orders of Augusta. And you've also got a conservatory there, which is the Princess of Wales Conservatory, opened by Diana, Princess of Wales, but dedicated to Augusta. So his parents were quite instrumental for, you know, how Kew kind of came to be. And at the time, you had King George II, which was his grandfather, who was quite domineering upon George III, who later becomes George III. And so when he comes to power, he is quite well liked originally. You know, people are quite interested in how he loved all sorts of different things, one of which in particular was all to do with what's happening above our heads. And his father actually installed an astronomer in the attic of a building which was just opposite what we call Kew Palace today. And there he had scientists and all sorts of people that came into this building opposite Kew Palace and would put on lectures and teach George all sorts of different things. And he was fascinated with time. And actually, there were a few kind of conversations about whether Mean Time was going to end up at Kew instead of Greenwich.
Really?
Which would be interesting. Yeah.
That would have been a weird development.
Yeah, so he was well loved, or well, maybe loved is maybe pushing it a little bit further, but you know, people were interested in the fact that he was interested. This is the time of the Great Enlightenment, so you know, people are just starting to question what the world is all about, and being surrounded by people like William Chambers at Kew, who's quite, again, somebody that's quite instrumental in terms of being a botanist, going around the world, collecting all sorts of specimens and bringing them to Kew. And George would have seen that firsthand. And he wanted other people to hear about these discoveries as well. He married Princess Charlotte. And this year, there's been quite a lot of connections to his wife, and there's been outfits on display, a couple of her dresses, really amazing. And as I say, I don't know if what we saw this year is going to be on display again next year, because they do tend to change it quite regularly. But so she got married to George at the age of just 17. They had 15 children, so pretty busy.
How do they have time, these people? I mean, come on, I know they've got servants and stuff, but still, like,
ridiculous. And she was busy. She was busy putting on lots of parties, in particular in Buckingham House, which of course today.
Probably.
But in the early years, you know, he was quite well. He was quite well in the mind. It's only kind of later on in life that he starts having these bouts of madness, as they're called. His three youngest daughters, they end up kind of being locked away in Kew Palace. And this is because their father, the King, George III, is so worried that they're going to be married to the wrong person. And he kind of wraps them up in cotton wool. And there they stay in Kew Palace, and they get older and older and older, and older to the point that they just go beyond the age that people kind of want to marry them. And it's quite sad, really. And there's quite a few books. I think there was a film released all about all about his daughters, and they end up calling Kew Palace the nunnery because it's literally, you know, where nothing happens at all. There's like no fun, there's no men, there's no flirtation. So there's been a few things, not this year, but I have noticed in past years there's been more kind of information about the nunnery and what it was like when they lived there. He was quite ambitious, so he wanted to actually build this big Gothic castle in Kew, and I'm so sad that he didn't, because I just think that sounds
would have been
fabulous.
Cool. Yeah,
a Gothic castle, it'd just be brilliant, wouldn't it? You know, I'm imagining something like from Alton Towers, like you know, where you could get onto like some chair that whizzes you around. Yeah.
I'm not sure that's how it would have been, Em, but we could pretend.
Loved it, you know, this opening and people going around screaming. Anyway, but this never came to fruition, because this is where he suddenly becomes quite ill. And originally they think that he's got the flu. Some say that, you know, oh, we ate four pears last night, so, you know, he's probably a little bit ill. His stomach isn't feeling too good because he's, you know, overdosed on the old pears.
Love it.
But it gets worse and worse. And he is known for just talking and talking and talking hours and hours on end. A lot of people saying that, you know, he's just mumbling and talking nonsense.
Sounds like us.
It is. It's basically me now, right? How many pairs did she have? And, you know, people in Parliament, people around him are starting to worry about how people are going to view him. So this is where he starts to become a recluse, and he's basically locked away in Kew Palace. And this, of course, you know, it might be obvious, but at this time, of course, the public can't go into Kew Gardens. They can't wander around and be close to the palace. You have a lot of botanists and, you know, learned people that are going around, but in terms of the public, they're nowhere near. His doctor, Francis Willis, he set quite a brutal routine, really. He was isolated. He was restrained if he didn't, you know, cooperate. They gave him lots of laxatives, freezing baths, leeching, you know, to try and kind of leech or get the blood out and possibly help relieve this kind of mental anguish. And he did recover for a little bit. And when he recovered,
due to the leeches, though, I imagine.
People, you know, were kind of bowing down to Francis Willis and saying, you know, it's you, and your reputation now is fantastic. So, you know, he had to accommodate a much larger doctor surgery, because the numbers outside were just crazy. But of course, this had such an effect on him, his marriage, although his wife did stay quite close to him, and even though there it was quite fractured in parts, she did still kind of dedicate herself to him. And we've got Robert Greville's diary, who was somebody that was quite close to the king and would spend a lot of time in Kew Palace, and he described the king talking for 19 hours at a time, being quite violent, agitated, angry. And it's quite interesting, because there was a lady called Margaret Nicholson in the 1780s, and she approached him with a petition and attempted to stab him.
Really?
Yeah. And when this happened, and this was only 2 years kind of before his own mental health crisis, if you like. And he said, "Oh, poor woman, she is mad. Do not hurt her." And these words become, you know, pretty iconic, I guess. So he had various attacks, and then he loses his youngest daughter, which then sends him, you know, even further down. He becomes blind, depressed. I mean, when I said I was going to talk about Kew Palace, you thought it was going to be, you know, possibly quite nice. This is quite a sad story, really. And they do finally separate.
You found the goth in there, haven't you?
I found the goth. They do finally separate, and she actually moves to Windsor Castle. And eventually he does as well, but she goes there first of all. And we've got part of a letter that she wrote to him, and it says, "My dearest king, our separation must be and really is equally painful to us both. The physicians assure me that a meeting ought not to take place at present, and therefore am under the painful necessity to deprive myself of so satisfactory a pleasure. So yeah, so I guess a lot of people around her are saying, look, it's probably not good for him to be around you, you know, it could bring up certain things. And you know, and what's even sadder is when she died at Windsor Castle, when he was there, they didn't want to upset him and didn't want to tell him that she had died. So they put lots of straw upon the ground so that he didn't hear the coffin go by. No. And all of the people. Yeah. Yeah. How sad is that? Isn't it? Yeah, it is. But I guess, you know, he was so ill and they, you know, were probably worried how that could, you know, tip him over or how he was going to react to it. So, but yeah, it's really sad. So then eventually he died in 1820.
And did he ever know that she'd died as well, or?
I presume that he would have, because she died 2 years before.
Figured out she wasn't there.
Probably would have been told, you would have thought, or at least kind of on his deathbed, they said,
oh, she's already gone.
You're going to see your wife now, or yeah. Something. Oh, God, it's terrible, isn't it? But back on Kew Palace, so after this, a marriage takes place there. King George IV marries there. And eventually it falls into the hands of William IV, who actually offered it to his sister-in-law's daughter, who we know later becomes Queen Victoria. But she turns it down and she says, an old house quite unfit for the princess and me to occupy, being very inadequate in accommodation and almost destitute of furniture.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, so, some ideas about her station, hasn't she?
She has indeed. But then Queen Victoria, she obviously doesn't think it's too bad, because when she comes to power, she sends a couple of her children there to enjoy the summer at Kew Palace. And then when we reach Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee, she gives Kew Palace to the gardens, to the rest of the gardens. So that's when they open it up to the public. And that's when, a little bit later, they create a replica of this Dutch garden that was there in the 17th century. And this replica is still very much there today, which I will come back to. It is where a dinner was held that was hosted by Charles, who was then the Prince of Wales. We're talking about our current king.
Oh, our one, okay.
Yes, the one. And he hosted a party to celebrate his mother's, aka the Queen Elizabeth II, the 80th birthday in 2006. And the palace is also featured in a BBC documentary series, which is called Tales from the Palace. So if you're wanting a bit of a visual, maybe try and hunt that down. It was on BBC.
Quite a good series, that, actually.
Yeah, they've got quite a few different ones, haven't they?
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I absolutely adore are the kitchens. And remember, you've got the undercroft from the original building. And when you go down into the kitchens, they're just incredible. They have so much atmosphere. They've been untouched for like 200 years. And you have this massive roasting range, which is quite technical, because you have the heat that goes up into the chimney and the heat turns the fan, and then you have these kind of cords that then turn the spit, and it's all it's quite brilliant for the time.
Very high tech
for, you know, the early 19th century. You also have a baking room, you've got ovens, you can see a table in the middle, which is the same table that would have been used during the time that King George III was there. And you can see markings in the table that they would have, you know, made with knives accidentally and been cutting things quite vigorously.
I love that sort of stuff.
Oh, it's amazing. And back then as well, you know, the time of King George III, they started to write everything down. So lots of menus are on display, and, you know, like a lot of these places, you have all of the kind of the fake food, if you like, which just brings it to life. Now, a bit that's closed off but quite exciting is the attics in Kew Palace.
Oh, I've not seen them.
And no. So they do have them open on special occasions. And there are some witching marks in the attics.
Yes.
In the attic, yeah. So in the 17th century, You know, a time of witches. Lots of people were quite worried about lots of people around them that could potentially be witches. So you would have these marks that were usually in the attic, the highest place in your home, and they would be usually made by priests or people of the church, and they would ward off evil. In terms of the markings, in particular at Kew Palace, you've got little circles, you've got interlocking V's, you can see the letter M as well for Mary, the Virgin Mary. Yeah, so that's
Famous witch
pretty
hunter, the
cool.
Virgin Mary.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the gardens. So the gardens are just so delicious, and these are actually open all throughout the year, and it's really nice because the gardeners, they keep it going and it's so fruitful, and there's always something that is being grown there, no matter what time, no matter what season you go to. So it's very authentic to what it was like when the Kew Palace was first built in the early 1600s.
Is
And
it a
there
kitchen garden?
it is, a kitchen
It's a kitchen
garden.
garden.
Yeah, the kitchen garden. So they actually still use a lot of the produce within the cafe. In the cafe at Kew, so which is just by the shop. So when you walk around, it's one of those gardens where, you know, you're bending down all the time and you're rubbing leaves in between your fingers, and then, you know, just giving them a good sniff because you smell lavender, you've got thyme and sage. Oh, just absolutely lovely. Lemon thyme. And there's lots of different berries at different times of the year. So gooseberries and black currants. You have, well, this time of year is really good to go because their pumpkin display is quite wonderful.
Oh, really?
Really nice. And then up the walls, and usually you'd have in a garden that goes back to the 17th century, you'd have all of these kind of apple trees that are attached to the side of the walls. You've got Morello cherries going up, you've got damsons. It's just absolutely delightful.
Yeah, it's really, really pretty. I've never seen the pumpkins, though. Might have to go by.
Definitely. Yeah, as we charge closer towards Halloween.
There are.
So that's it. That's my bit of information about Kew Palace for you today.
Amazing, thank you. And it is such a lovely place to go and visit, although not until April.
But it's still, I mean, you know, if you're paying to go into Kew Gardens,
You can see it from the outside, even if you're, yeah.
exactly. You can see it from the outside, and you can wander down to the left of the palace and see the kitchen gardens. And then you have this kind of archway on the right, I think of lime trees, and you go up these stairs and you come to what looks like this beautiful blue bird cage, which you can sit under. And it's great because you get a great view over the top of the palace, and you can see the beautiful chimneys. And there's just next door this timepiece, which kind of is like a sundial connecting to the fact that George III absolutely loved everything to do with time. So, yeah, there
That's
we
so
go.
nice. Thank you, Em.
You're more
I
than
just, it,
welcome.
you know, I think it's so nice to like talk about all these little places that people don't always know are there. And in fact, actually, I had a message from Lizzie Bendel, who is somebody who I went to school with many, many moons ago.
Hello, Lizzie Bendel.
And we kind of got back in touch during COVID because she somehow found my Instagram and started watching my things. And she messaged to say that she'd just been to Ham House. And I was like, oh, Fab, did you listen to the podcast? She said, no, I hadn't realised there was one on it. So she'd then just listened to it having been. And she's like, oh, we must go back and look at everything. But I think it's so nice to sort of have a little look at these little spots that, you know, this is why we do the podcast, isn't it? That we're not interested in doing the big stuff because we do that for tours all the time. It would be easy to do. But I really like all the little stuff that people don't know about. So things like Kew Palace are little treasure troves, and
Absolutely.
they're rather nice to do. So thank you.
Definitely.
Amazing.
No problemo.
Now, I actually have something that I forgot to say at the top of the show. Happy anniversary. Because about 3 weeks ago, hadn't realised at all, we went through our 2 year anniversary.
We didn't.
We did.
Did we miss?
Oh, it was about, God. I think it was the 22nd of September or something.
Oh my God. That is
to
how
be fair,
busy
there was other stuff going on around
we
are. There.
I mean, what we probably, because we focused on the 100th episode,
yeah,
which was probably around the same yeah time, wasn't it, I guess.
But oh, I was chatting, God, I saw somebody at an event the other day and they went, how's the podcast going? I'm like, oh, it's really great, really loving it. And they said, oh, how long have you been doing it now? And I said, about 18 months. And I said, yeah, we're on episode, well, 106. And he went, well, that'll be nearer 2 years. And I thought, oh, I'll check that out. So I went back and I looked. And yeah, I think it was 22nd of September. So we've steamed through 2 years.
Yeah. Wow. Ah. That is impressive,
with only 2 weeks
darling
off in that entire time.
Only 2 weeks off. Like
us.
That is really good, especially when we have been busy. I mean, we don't yeah want to big ourselves up too much. Who knew?
We are
this
amazing.
wow.
But yeah, so big pats on our backs and happy birthday to us.
And also our listeners, because, you know, if we yeah like looked at the figures and we're like, well, you know, just a couple of people downloading it.
Mm. Yeah.
Actually, we'd probably still do it, wouldn't we? It's the good old laugh.
Yeah, we enjoy it. So yeah, so thank you. And
yeah,
thank you. And you probably notice yeah as well, listeners, that we're getting more adverts on, which is great because it funds us to be able to do this. So
yeah,
I know they're not, oh, you know, people don't always like the adverts and fair enough because, you know, they're a bit of a pain, but just know that they're helping us keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Keeping it free for all of you, which is what, you know, what it's all about.
Yeah.
So there we go. Mm.
Podcast Pedestal.
Well, oh, and we've totally powered through without doing Podcast Pedestal as well, haven't we?
Oh, God.
So we're all arse backwards on this week's one. So Podcast Pedestal for this week, what are you going to pick?
What am I going to pick? It's a hard one because it's not really a story where there's like a moment of like, wow, or a moment of like, oh, that changed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm completely responsible for that, but what am I going to go for? I think I might go for the witching marks, actually, because...
That's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit strange. And when you look at Kew Palace, it's so dainty and so doll's house-like that you can't imagine that you would have got the vicar up there to kind of scratch in some marks because they were worried about, you know, the evil spirits. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go for the witching marks.
But they were the knickers into quite a twist, didn't they? It's,
they did, yeah.
17th century,
yeah,
about,
they did,
about witches. I think I'm going to go for your man, Georgie III, being banged up in there, to be honest.
Oh, okay, his carceration.
I quite like the idea of it being this family home that they've all... you know, this family home that they've all kind of grown up in, and you were saying about his... you know, he was there when he was a kid and all of that. Mm. And I, you know, it's quite, it's this wonderful thing of history, isn't it? That, I mean, we've just been talking about Queen Elizabeth II passing into history and now, you know, talking about her as part of history. And it's that thing with George III, you know, you covered his life in a couple of minutes and that's a whole lifetime, isn't it? And it's, so it's quite interesting to do that thing of, oh, he grew up here, he was a kid here. And then when his whole life completely changed later, when he was ill, this is also where he came to kind of be incarcerated. I just find that so fascinating and how we can kind of reduce really big, you know, whole lives and big things that happen to people to a few sentences and it be, yeah, I don't know. I'm getting all philosophical now. You can tell I've not spoken to anyone for ages. So, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to go for.
Okay. Fab. Well, I will put those up on time this week, I promise.
yeah, so that will be for next week's podcast. Thank you.
The Wheel of Destiny.
Great. So, one last thing to do before we say goodbye.
Yes.
That is spinning the old wheel.
Spinning the wheel.
Cool. The wheel.
Right. Well, we've had a couple of requests lately. Mm. So I'm going to see if some of those, we can cover some of those in the next few weeks, which would be nice. But yeah, I think give it a spin and let's crack on.
Okay. Fitzrovia.
Ooh, Fitzrovia. Oh, now let me, I did actually have a little thing that I was thinking about for Fitzrovia. Which was, what was it? Oh, here we go. The Berners Street hoax.
The Berners Street hoax?
Yeah. I feel like we haven't done an event for a while, so I want to do an event.
Ooh.
The Berners Street hoax.
I have never heard of this before. I am excited.
Yep.
Poised.
Well, you've got a week to wait. Week to wait. So sorry about that. She'll just have to, you know, wait. Really? Nothing else I can tell you. Don't go googling.
Bloody wait.
Don't go googling.
I never go googling. So I never go googling. You don't, when you tell me that you're going to talk about something. I always enjoy the story.
So, the Berners Street Hoax will be next week's episode.
Great. Wow. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. Pleasure, treasure. Thanks for coming along. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will see you next week. Have a wonderful week. Next week will be slap bang in the middle of one of the busiest weeks of the year for me, with lots and lots of events happening. So I'm going to be a bit frazzled, but it'll be fine.
We will power through.
We will get
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
I'll see you next week.
See you next week. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Enjoy not Las Vegas. Where are you going? Ibiza.
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 Bye. 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 Bye.